What do you say we get to something we like to call this?
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Luckily, I have prepared for such an event. The lightning round!
Someday we're gonna fill in with words. It's gonna be about the lightning round.
The lightning round.
The lightning round.
United States women's soccer team filed an Equal Employment Opportunity Commission complaint against the U.S. Soccer Federation, saying that they have been paid well below what the men get, which includes missed appearance fees and bonuses, regular pay, which is apparently below the poverty line, despite bringing in more money for the federation and being the only side that actually wins stuff. One, the fact of the matter is there is less interest in our country in women's soccer. The professional league isn't even close to the MLS, and when the World Cup comes around, we cheer them on, but just as much, if not less, than we do the men, because let's face it, the Women's World Cup isn't nearly as popular as the men's. The men bring in more interest, so they should be paid more. Two, this isn't about popularity, it's about fairness, which is the entire point of these laws that protect women from unfair wages in our country. The women win, the women bring in more money, the women play the sport at the same level as the men, Olympics and World Cup. Pay them what they deserve. Three, soccer in March and April. Opening day is Sunday, bro. Spring football is happening right now. These people are only interesting every couple of years. Get out of here with that soccer stuff.
It's definitely not three. Fairness, yeah, that's how the world works. This is all about revenue right now. And like I said, it'll be more in line whether it should be exactly equal based on how much money comes in, as much as I would pay the women a lot more because the men just like, they ain't going to win anyway. So I'm going to go with one, but I'm almost thinking I should go pending and borrow from another game.
Dwayne Benjamin just announced he is going to hang up his sneakers for a while, and will instead don some Nike Vapors and play football for the Ducks. One, 6'7", 210 pounds, can jump out of the gym. If that doesn't scream wide receiver, I don't know what does. This is going to work out great for everyone involved. He's not Johnny Lloyd, but Oregon already has kick returners. This dude could be a stud on the outside. Two, this will be a nice experiment, but Benjamin hasn't played football in a long time, and he's trying to play a position Oregon is absolutely stacked at. Hopefully he can block, because he might never see the field if he can't. Three, you know, I think I still have some eligibility. My days on the Wayne Hills golf team will not have gone in vain. Sign me up, Coach Lubick.
Wow, me too. I got hands. Better hands than Jason Williams. Not going to be three. He's got the size. I got to go with this is an experiment, and sure, no block, no rock, and he may get on the field in blowouts or against UC Davis, so I'm going to go two or B.
UFC 200 just announced its lineup yesterday. Headlining the event is a rematch of the last pay-per-view, Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz. You'll remember McGregor fought well above his normal weight and lost pretty handily despite all the hype and trash talking beforehand. One, this is the obvious choice for the UFC. Building off the momentum from the last fight, people want to see if McGregor is actually for real or if it might be time to close the door on him as a star in the sport. Two, quick payoff is good, but this is bad for the long term. Rematches should have buffers. McGregor needs to get back in the gym and get a win against someone else before he should get another shot at Diaz. Three, who the hell cares about Diaz McGregor? Where is Ronda and Tate? That's literally the only fight I care about. Rousey dislocated Tate's elbow in 2012, got her to submit in 2013, but Tate is the champ now. Diaz McGregor, you guys can take a back seat.
And is he still fighting at 170?
It's 170, yep.
So, yeah.
And by the way, that is three pay-per-views from now, because like 197, 198,
oh, okay.
199 in between that.
I don't see why this should be of interest to anybody but diehard UFCers. I'm all about Misha and Ronda, so I'm going to go with three.
Syracuse has shocked the nation this year and destroyed pretty much every bracket in existence by making their sixth Final Four. But now that they've beat Dayton, Middle Tennessee, Gonzaga, and Virginia, they are in the world of North Carolina, Oklahoma, and Villanova. One, it was a great run by the Orange. Jim Boeheim did some amazing work taking a team that played terrible during the regular season, getting them to step it up when it matters most, but their time is done. Two, hey, this is March Madness after all. They just beat a one seed. It was Virginia, but still a one seed. Who's to say that they couldn't keep this amazing run going? They definitely have a chance. Three, I don't care what they do. Jim Boeheim is a moron. He was suspended this season for cheating, which hurt his players, then has the audacity today to say that he doesn't think he really cheated because he says it wasn't intentional. Screw Syracuse. Screw Boeheim. I hope Carolina destroys them.
Isn't that the group that the Cookie Monster asks to check the timer while he bakes his cookie? Syracuse?
Syracuse? Oh, my God. Did you really just make a Syracuse
I had
joke?
To. The commercial was just on behind you. I love the Cookie Monster.
Yeah, it's pretty great. It's a great commercial, too.
While it was amazing, they cheated. Three, while it was amazing, they cheated. But they're getting to play. There's no chance between now and Saturday they're going to decide, well, Syracuse can't play. And in this tournament, this event, that program with that coach, I think why not is like the only feasible answer here. I'm going B. Or
that,
two.
I think, yeah, that was two. Okay, good. I'll just make sure we're getting the right numbers here. Denzel Valentine just won Player of the Year in college hoops, voted on by the AP, edging out Buddy Hield by 3 votes.
Whoa, what? I didn't know it was that close.
How this award doesn't go to Buddy Buckets is absolutely incredible. He averaged 25 points per game, 6 rebounds per game for a team in the Final Four. That is pretty much the textbook definition of a Player of the Year. Two, Valentine averaged 19 points, 8 boards, 8 assists per game. That's almost a triple double for the best player on a top 5 team heading into the tournament. Hield was great, but Valentine was just a bit better. 3 votes better, actually. That seems correct. Three, this entire award is flawed. When was the last time we thought about Michigan State? Seems like months. Player of the Year should incorporate the postseason and regular season, which it doesn't.
My question is, do we know when they voted? Because, like,
it was before the regular season ended.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So then I gotta say, I think Michigan State had less of a supporting cast around Hield. And obviously a lot of Oregon fans are like, well, did you see what he did? Yeah, I get it. The guy's magnificent. The game against Kansas certainly did a lot. But this team was picked early in the season. I mean, they were 8th in the AP poll all year long with that quartet that had played a total of, what, 104 games together. While I personally would have gone for Hield, I have no problem with Valentine. So would that be 2 again?
That would also be 2, yeah.
That would be 2. All right, I'm going to go with number 2 to wrap up the lightning round.